chapter 31 and verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. If you have it, can you say amen? And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Are you there now? Moses calls Joshua and says unto him, not in a corner, but in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Why? For you must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers. See, God made a promise to give them. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that goeth before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And we like to speak briefly around the theme of Joshua's turn. Joshua's turn. Moses is coming to the end of his stewardship. He has been disqualified from going into the land because he had failed to sanctify the Lord in the sight of the people. And so, as Moses' term comes to an end, or is coming to an end, he calls Joshua in and gives him some instructions. Be strong, Joshua, and of a good courage, because you have to go with these people now into a land that their fathers promised. Are you there? It's not that they so much deserve it. Not so much that they deserve the land. But God had promised the land. So, Moses is turning over the reins to Joshua. And he says, be strong, be of good courage. Verse 8, I'm turning over the reins to you, Joshua. But it's the Lord that's going to go before you. I thought I was at Buell this morning. I'll go over it again. It's the Lord that's going before you. Now, you may have some faults and failures, but He will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. So stop being scared. Don't be afraid. And don't be dismayed. It's Joshua's turn. They've gathered at Mount Sinai. They're about ready to enter into a land of promise. They were slaves. They were in bondage in Egypt. They cried out because of the affliction. God raised up Moses. And the Lord delivers them from Pharaoh, from Egypt. Now they're about ready to enter into this land of promise. See, I'm slowing down a little bit, if you help me. Because it's very important that you get this picture. See, Moses could only take them so far. Now we have another man named Joshua coming in. See, it's only one plan of deliverance. God has promised His people some land. Promised that to Abraham. But one leader takes them so far. Then the other leader picks up and takes them on, amen, where he left off. You understand that? See. Now, you may have some repair work that needs to be done in your house. You need a carpenter and a plumber. Amen. So the carpenter does so much. Then the plumber comes in and does his part. What you're concerned about is that the entire work be done. So in this plan to get God's people where He wants them to be, see, God has a part for Moses to play. And then He has a part for Joshua to play or to do. Amen. See, it's one thing to get you out of Egypt. And now that you're out of Egypt and you've escaped old Pharaoh, there's some things that God has for you on this side of the Red Sea that He didn't give you back there. While you were eating those leeks and cucumbers and onions and garlic from Egypt, your mind was not on Canaan. Had a hard time out there. God has brought you out. See, now you're on the brink of moving into fresh territory, into another realm of existence. And what Moses did to get you out, now God is making provisions to keep you out. Amen. See, so in Egypt, it was a conflict of gods. Who was greater? The God of the Bible, Jehovah God, or the gods of Egypt. Passover proved it. Through all that conflict. Remember, they were had a contest of miracles. But God got tired of that and just sent the death angel to settle the issue. Trying to make it plain, see. See, the question is, is your God able? See, and so they'll say, well, all right, you join that church. You say you know God. Let's see if He can keep you in times like these. I can't deal with all that salvation you're talking about. But let me see how you do now that you are supposed, now that you're out of Egypt. Amen. So it's one thing to get you down the aisle. Amen. Then there's another area of deliverance that's involved after you confess Christ. See, question was asked, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? See, can the God who brought you out keep you out? Or do you have to keep slipping back, sliding back, and coming in, amen, on Sunday like you've been with the Lord all week? Amen. And so the God of the Bible is involved with deliverance and deliverances. Not just one victory, but victories. Amen. And he's concerned for His name's sake that something dynamic happened in your life. Now, you know about Moses. He was the man around the burning bush. Met the Lord for himself. Remember, the Lord spoke to Moses from that burning bush. Said, go tell Israel, I am that I am. God didn't tell Moses to go tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. God has no problem with Pharaoh. God's biggest problem is with His own people. If we knew who He was or who He is, amen, much would change in our lives. See, the devil knows who he is. Remember in the New Testament, when them demons jumped out there, they said, O thou Son of the Most High God, why torment us before our time? The demons know who He is. We're the ones that have a problem. Amen. Alright. So Moses is the appointed leader. He's the answer to prayer. He's the intercessor. He's the lawgiver. He's the one who God is using to fulfill His promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He won't talk back to me. See, whatever God promises, He's going to do. But once in his life, Moses slipped. God told Moses to speak to the rock, because the people were thirsty. And God says, Moses, speak to the rock, and water will come out. Well, it got on Moses' nerves, and Moses smoked the rock. And God said, because you hit that rock, you can't go in. Now, Apostle Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that rock was an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a Christophany, y'all. Amen. See, it was a rock that they followed in the wilderness, as well as cloud by day and fire by night. And God was saying, whatever you need, I'll be right there to supply that need. But sanctify my name in the presence of the people. Don't do something I didn't tell you to do. Are y'all there? See, he was crucified at Calvary. See, he wouldn't come down. He decided to die. You accepted what he did for you at Calvary. If you get in trouble, you don't have to go get saved again. By one sacrifice, he sanctified you forever. So don't tell people you have to go get saved. No, sir. The rock was smitten or hit once. Now, if you're in trouble this morning, all you have to do is talk to that rock. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you tell folks you have to get saved again, you are implying that you could get lost. After he saved you once, he's holding you in his hand. He sealed you with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. His blood has cleansed us from all of our sins. All of them. But the saints do sin. That's 1 John chapter 1. If you say you don't sin, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. I belong to the church. I know you do, but you're still a mess. You still thinking stuff you ought not to be thinking. You still saying things you had no business saying. Only difference between you and the man out there is you're forgiven. Amen. And he's working on us. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. Yes, sir. So, if you mess up, you just confess that. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's all you got to say. A saint can say that. If you don't know him, you'll be around here all day blaming folks. Well, you could have gotten it cleaned up, and going about your business. That's why the lawyer has your money right now. You could have said to your wife, I'm sorry, and gotten it cleared up and moved on. But you had to prove you was right when you were wrong. Amen, amen. All right, okay. So Moses takes them as far as he can. And now Joshua must take over. Now they're going into the land of Canaan. Canaan is the land that was promised to Israel. But Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is a picture of Christian warfare. Canaan gives you a type, a preview of the struggle you're going to face once you're out of Egypt. Just because you came down the aisle does not mean things going to be peaches, cream, and a bowl full of cherries. Matter of fact, you haven't been hit yet. Before you met God, all you had to worry about was the devil. Now that you met the Lord, you got to fight off the devil. And God's going to get the glory out of you. And he gets his glory by taking you through stuff. Anybody here been through something? Amen. Amen. See, he gets his glory by taking nobody and making somebody out of nobody. Amen. Amen. See, the glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is you and me. And he gets his glory by taking nothing, nobodies, zeros, soap bubbles, straw people, and he makes something out of them. Then when they get you in the White House or wherever you're going, they put a microphone in your face. Say, how did you get where you going? And you have to admit it wasn't me. But the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way. Amen. And the real saints know that you're only in what you're in until God gets the glory. Once he gets the glory, there's no reason for holding you in it. So you learn to give God the glory as soon as the problem arrives. They just took your car, glory. They just broke into your house, glory. You're not gonna get anything with a long face. I don't care what it is. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we enter a diverse temptation, James said, count it all joy. You just be grinning and giggling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's wrong with you, man? The storm is passing over. I see a brighter day. Amen. It came to pass. Amen. And God, and hear all that noise. My child out there making all that noise. Lord, I thank you for my shoes. Don't have any shoes on your feet, but you're thanking him anyhow. Thank you for the victory. God said, for my name's sake, I'll give him some shoes. Because I don't want folks to think I can't provide shoes. I don't want people to think I can't open doors that no man can shut. Amen. What you think you're going to heaven to do? Sit up there and go to sleep? You going to heaven to praise him. Oh, yes, you are. Amen. And you're going to praise him for something that the angels can't praise him for. Because the angels have not been redeemed. But you got a story to tell. Yes, you do. And if you don't have one to tell, it's probably because you ain't doing nothing. Amen. But you just try to do something for the Lord. Nothing heavy. Just try to forgive somebody. Try to do good. They'll bite your hand. Stab you in the back. Your good will turn out to be no good. Amen. But you find as you stand there with tears lapping under your cheeks. You've been singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Save the wretch like me. Y'all don't hear me? When you compare what he done for you with what these hellhounds are trying to put on you, it's called light affliction. Light affliction. Because there's a greater weight of glory. Amen. Let me move on here. But see, you got to figure something out. What am I doing this morning that 2,000 years from today will mean anything? 2,000 years from now, Amen. You ain't going to take that house up there. You're not going to take that car up there. But you know that little praise you got? That little, something the Lord did for you? Amen. Amen. So, having come out of Egypt, you're going into a land that's already occupied. Enemy occupied territory. It's yours, but the enemy's living on it. I wish I had time to talk about that. See, all things belong to Him. El Elyon, the Most High God, the possessor of the heavens and the earth. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything was made by Him and for Him. And you His child. Amen. And He's your Father. Look like if you need something, He can supply. Just the idea of it just causes me to just go off, you know. Not that I have it, it's the potential. That right now, while I'm sitting here, if I praise Him right, He can turn my whole circumstance inside out. Amen. And like we said the other night, if God wanted your money, you wouldn't have gotten it in the first place. He don't need a sandwich from you. But He said, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that works in us. Amen. Sometime you go in the house, amen, and pork chops, a little piece of beef, some eggs, some bacon, and some bread. You don't try to eat it all. Somebody just look at that and say, my, look at all that. You haven't put a thing on your plate. But the idea is it's there. So I'm talking to the wrong church. It's the idea that it's there. And that God has made promises. And it's just fun thinking about it. But then when you go to God according to His Word and He starts emptying the icebox and fixing stuff for you, He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup runs over. You got to say something. Amen. But you see, the territory is occupied. The devil doesn't want you to have anything. So he's out to deprive you, to steal, to rob you. And God wants to bless you. So as you enter into this new life, there's a conflict. Gotta hasten on. There's a conflict. I left Egypt. That was one struggle. He set me free. But now in Canaan, there's a different struggle. Now I'm struggling with right versus wrong. The flesh and the spirit. Good versus evil. Pressures. Problems. Which way should I go? The devil's camouflage. He comes as an angel of light. When I look like I want to do good, evil comes up. things I said I was going to do, I don't get done. The things I said I was not going to do, I end up doing. And I be looking, I said, oh, wretched man that I am. The God I love, the one I've dedicated to, I let him down. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But I've got to come into his house on Sunday. Amen. And don't feel like I'm worthy. I need somebody. And sometimes I can wonder, well, Lord, you got me. Amen. Out of the barroom, off the dance floor. Got me off the street corner. Broke yokes, took away my habits, set me up for a new life. But I'm not doing so hot on this side. Matter of fact, some things have come up in my life that's worse than it was when I didn't know. Lord, will you leave me? Lord, will you let me down? I've done some things I told myself I wasn't going to do. Can I count on you? Will you give me a pink slip? Will you kick me to the curb? Will you disown me? I need somebody on this side of the Jordan. Because I had different problems. So many folks who offered me a sandwich, I found there was a hook in it. Found there was a razor blade in it. My back is full of knives. Shaking my hand with one hand in. Stabbing me in the back with the other hand. Folks who said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you come sunrise or high water. When I looked around, they were gone. You wouldn't have known my problem unless my best friend told you. Then you went and put it on the billboard. Amen. Hit me upside my head with stones. Then hid your hand. Can I make it? Can I shake it? Can I break it? Because it was joy when I met you, Lord. But I didn't know that you had people like this can grin in your face and lie. I didn't know it was like this. I thought I left all that out there. I didn't know in here could get worse. Because these folks get right up underneath you and cut you down. So I not only have to face the pressures on the outside, there are pressures without and within. Sometimes I get so turned around, I don't know which way is up or which way to turn. Amen. So God said, I knew that when you got to Canaan, you'd have a different type of enemy. I won't go over all the ramifications. But Canaan is a different story. And so you need a new leader. Or I'm going to use the term, another leader. Amen. Don't you know there's many of us that were baptized. We're baptized into death. Put under the water. Raised up. Baptism symbolized burial. Something died. The water is a symbol of a death. But when it brought you up out of the water, that was to symbolize that you died to one thing. But now you are alive to a new leadership. The old stuff that brought you to the water, you drop that. But you identify with the only one you know, the only one we know, who can take all of our past foolishness, all of our mistakes, all our transgressions. Clean it up. Give you a new page and a new life. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. So it's Joshua's turn. When they got to Canaan, Moses has to step aside. And here comes this man named Joshua, or Jeshua, or in the New Testament, Jesus. Joshua in the Old Testament is the same name, Jesus, in the New Testament. The name Jesus means the salvation of Jehovah. It is the deliverance of the God who was, who is, and ever shall be. See, and you have to study this man named Joshua. Because Joshua is going to do for Israel what the Lord Jesus does for us after we save. See, after you come out of Egypt, there's another life there. After you got out of the devil's hand, there's a new life to live. There's some things that God wants you to have. And Moses could only bring you so far. But this Joshua has a different ministry. Now, amen. Moses may have been the carpenter. The Lord Jesus is the plumber. This is just trying to make your plan. Moses did what he could. But now here comes Joshua. Amen. See, very quickly now, see. He comes after Moses. He is an advocate. Remember when that man named Achan, he took some stuff he wasn't supposed to take. One man. And as Israel went out to fight the battle, they thought that the people in Ai were chumps. They thought they were going to get his win. But one man had sinned. So the city of Ai put the Israelites to flight. Beat them up bad. And, whooped their heads. Because one man had sinned. And Joshua went to God as an advocate. And talked to God. And pleaded with God to keep God from destroying them. For what one man did. See, you ask the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save. He saved. Come in here and got caught up with some stuff that's just as bad as what you was doing before you met the Lord. And the accuser of the brethren, he said, ain't that one of your children I saw? I thought you brought him out of that. That's where he was last night. See, the accuser of the brethren is accusing us all day long. You look good around here. I only see you once a week. But we into some stuff that if God were to have his way, there would have been a whole string of coffins all around here. But every time we went astray, we have an advocate who gets in God's face. Y'all don't hear me. See, in our churches, we have a tendency. We say he rose from the grave. He got up from the grave. Amen. But what did he do after he got up from that grave? He arose, I tell you. He ascended And he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. And every charge that has come up against you, he has argued your case. Hey, that's why I praise him. Because he's good. We about as mean as a razor blade. You don't have anything good to say about anybody. But he's forgiven us. He has fixed it for us. Amen. You think you all that good? Get on your knees and ask the Holy Ghost to perform finger therapy. Lord, while I'm on my knees and in your presence, point out the stuff in my life that's not right. And stay there. You can't hardly handle a spirit-filled preacher for more than 15 minutes. You stay on your knees and let God talk to you. You don't need a preacher to tell you. I ain't getting no amens here. That's why you lost your joy. There's so much stuff going on in your life that's unconfessed that you're really a zombie. You're just sitting there. This man gets on my nerves. And the preacher is preaching to save your life because your bags are packed. Your reservations are made. God doesn't owe you another day. He can take us home right now. Lord, what did I do that you want to kill me? When that little lamb came into church this morning, you don't know what she came through to get to this church. You cut your eye at him. You didn't even say good morning. You didn't put an arm around anybody. Just mean looking as you can be. I'm not talking about you going to the lake of fire. I'm talking about you going to heaven. Because God can take you home today, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, or the next 3 seconds. He said, whoever receives a child in my name receives me, speaking of himself. How you think the Lord going to show up? He shows up in folks who are in need. And look to see what you're going to do about it. You're not cool sitting around the house of God all hinky and all huffed up and puffed up all the time. Amen. You're going to have a nice funeral. Well, how many folks really going to be crying because you're gone? See, the sins that we commit are in the area of conscience. It's in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. If we hurt each other's feelings, we're in trouble with God. See? And I praise Him because I know I'm not perfect in that area. And sometimes you hurt folks without knowing it. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, please, if I wounded a soul today, if I cause someone to go astray by attitude or forgive me. This don't have nothing to do with no preaching or how many years you've been in a church and around the church and all that. It has to do with soul winning and encouraging folks who need encouragement. Most of us this morning need somebody that'll put an arm around us and say, look, I'm praying for you. You know, sometimes you don't even have to do anything. Just the idea that you express a concern. And we go through a day done tore up. Your house, your home, the job, the community. And all day long, the Lord is in God's face. Don't hurt Him. Don't hurt him. Give me a little more time with him, Father. And he put that hand up. And when God the Father sees those marks, it reminds him of Calvary. That's why we're here today, saints. Nothing else but the fact that we have an advocate who come between us and what we've been into. And I don't know why we stop. I got to move on here. And guess what? Sin in God's sight is not what you do. If you think it, the sin begins down on your inside. And we can think some stuff in 10 seconds. That's why... on, you don't sit around God's house with your jaw tight. Not if you know that the Lord is here. Because He could hold you up for any one of them 150 things you felt last week. But usually shows His displeasure in taking away your joy. See, the joy we have, you can't take it. I know I'm messed up, but I can praise Him anyhow. Amen. I'm not praising Him out of perfection. That's wrong. I'm praising Him because of who He is. And the fact He didn't kill me. And not only that, see, but Joshua leads them in a fight. He leads them in a fight to get their inheritance. Every tribe had a portion of Canaan allotted to them. It was Joshua's task to see that they got what they were supposed to get. Now that you've come to the Lord, have you gotten everything you were supposed to get? We are multi-millionaires in Christ Jesus, living like paupers. You got gifts and callings and enablements with your name on in God's warehouse that you haven't even called. We were looking at it this morning, that's why I was so late getting up here. We were talking about the fruit of the Spirit in the class this morning. You got discernment, healing, tongues, governments, all kinds of gifts. What are we talking about? If God wants something done, He gives you power to do it. So He calls nobody. Then He places in him wisdom, a word of knowledge, and then He sets you to get things done. Stuff you didn't even know you could do. As soon as someone asks you to do something, you say, I can't do that. I decline. You are right. You can't do it. But you're not the boss. Corinthians 12. No, 1 Corinthians 12, 11. The Holy Ghost does as He will. He is sovereign. He walks around and gives a nobody the gift to fix up the whole building. He gives somebody that hasn't even graduated from kindergarten the power to instruct kings. That's why the church is excited. I can't do anything till He gets it. But when He gets it, He just, as the word is going forth, He just goes around giving gifts, anointing. You got a tough situation in your family. Uncles won't get along with aunts and children going off. You can call on the name of Jesus. He'll give you a word of reconciliation right on the spot. He'll give you a word to speak to the folks in your family to calm them down and bring them together again. That's why church is exciting. See, you just came down and said, I believe John 3:16. But saints, there's more to it than that. You've got election. You've got callings. Make your calling and your election sure. Because when you suddenly, someday, find out that the Spirit of the living God is living in your breast, the same power that raised Him high above powers and principalities is in your life. You're going to stop worrying about what type of cake we're going to have. You're going to stop arguing over napkins. You're going to start laughing at some stuff that you taking too seriously. Don't you misunderstand me. Sometimes I enjoy your singing because you enjoy it. It ain't that you singing so hot. Look like you just enjoying it. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying to you. See, when the Lord is on your ends, folks pick up that quickening. They pick up that understanding. They want to be around. It draws folks. You have folks can sing you happy and just as mean as they can be. You got preachers who can preach you happy, just as conniving and low down as they can be, the minute they walk off the rostrum. But you want to be sweet. You want to be nice. You want to be Holy Ghost filled. He'll show you things to come. He'll guide you into all truth. You won't need an astrology chart. Amen. Won't need a psychic. That's why you're out your mind now. You got too many psychics. You better call on the Lord. Amen. He makes sure you get what you're supposed to get. Now, I don't know about you. When I get to heaven, I want everything to have my name on. Now, if you don't want that, just say, Lord, give Brother Ruffin the blessings that I don't want. Now I want to make the point, because our blessings are spiritual. And they're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, because along with the filling, along with the calling, along with the gifts, comes the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're not experienced, not fruits, but fruit, it's are y'all. See, if you say fruits, you say maybe I have to go over there and get peace, and go over there and get joy, and over there to get long suffering, because it's fruits. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says fruit. See, because He wants you to go to one person whose name is Jesus. And when you get to Him, see, all of the fruit is available in that one person. See? And three of the fruit take you Godward. Three of the fruit inward. And then three of the fruit minister to people around you. as you're in touch with the Lord, you get love, peace, and joy. Amen. Let me leave you there. Amen. And then the folks around you begin to want to be close to you because stuff is falling off your table that they wish they had. They live on the overflow. Amen. Your cup runs over. See, that's why I'm running for my life, because there's so much to say, because I want you to be blessed. You want me to shut my mouth. I want you to be so fixed with the Lord that somebody will know you've been blessed. Amen. And it's a problem because I'm a lot to talk about, but I know you don't want to handle it. You can't stand it and you wish I'd sit down. But we're in Canaan now. Somebody's after your family. Someone's after your children. Somebody's trying to destroy your home. Amen. And when the preaching is over, you got to take something home with you. You got to know that no matter how bad those Canaanites look, I've got a leader whose name is Joshua. Amen. Because he not only gives me inheritance, he sees to it that I get what the Lord has promised. Oh, I wish I could talk about it. But we have a tendency to get over into Canaan. We take our eye off the Lord. And we start to think, I'll have a good time if so-and-so shows up. Things will be all right if brother so-and-so shows up. And you begin to take your eye off the Lord. And you begin to think that your peace, your joy, your lifestyle is wrapped up in someone else other than the Lord. Then God has to prove that person is not your deliverer. He's not your savior. And every once in a while we have to be brought back to the realization that when I was down in Egypt, amen, and when I cried out for deliverance, I didn't call on Allah. I didn't call on no Muhammad. I called on Jesus. I'm not changing up now. He brought me too far. I can't change banners now. He's done too much for me. When I compare what he's done with what you're offering, there's no comparison. You don't hear me. So not only does he see to it that you get what you're supposed to have, but Joshua led them to victory. You got to get used to winning. And some of us, amen, have been so used to losing that you don't know what it's like to be a winner. Sorry to tell you, but you might as well get glad, because you're a winner in Christ Jesus. If God be for you, who can be against you? Sometimes you have to tell yourself that. Don't just read that and leave it alone, but when it looks like the bottom is falling out, so you have to talk to your soul. You got to minister to yourself. Say, Spirit will yet praise God. I don't care what you say. I'm going to count on him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You go by your field and you still be home in your bed. But faith said, get up. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. Because I know that sometime, somewhere between sunrise and sunset, my God's going to do it. Faithful is he who called you, who will do it. He that has begun a good work in you. Hey, he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. It's 9 innings to the game, y'all. It's not over till it's over. It's not over till the buzzer sounds. So don't give out, don't give in, and don't give up. I don't care what that child said to you. In the name of Jesus, you just get a picture in your mind. When God gets through with him, he'll be all right. I can't handle it myself, but I'll put it in the Lord's hand. And I know he's going to work it out. Turn it over to Joshua. He'll work it out. Turn it over to Jesus. He'll work it out. Amen. I had some things to share with you, but my time is gone. Moses called Joshua and said unto him in the sight of Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Are you with me? Moses calls Joshua in the sight of Israel. But I can see God in a heavenly council, sitting on his throne, trillions of angels all around, with their eye on God. Some of them crying, holy, holy, holy. And I can see God sitting high and looking low. Amen. And I can see him turn to his son and not say, Joshua, but Jesus, you're my only son. But I'm sending you down to a lost generation. They've cried out in their affliction. It's about time that we take them all the way. Look like they got a mind, but they need some help on the journey. And so be strong and of a good courage, because you got to go with this people. Amen. He came from heaven down to a bunch of disciples who were around him promising, I'll never leave you or forsake you until the time of the crucifixion. Old big mouth Peter said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But Peter left him when he needed him most. Well, Peter ain't the only one. But the Bible says he loved him to the end. Amen. Went down to a hard head, stiff-necked people. Amen. But God has said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll be with you every step of the way. A praying church would talk back to me. But there are times when we find the Lord stealing away to talk to his Father. Pray all night long that he might have strength to go through. And I heard Moses tell Joshua, the Lord, he it is that goeth before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen. Well, I see my Lord and Savior and your God and my God on an earthly journey. I heard him when he said, foxes have holes. Amen. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. But all on this journey, his Father kept his eye on him. You all don't hear me? Father said, I won't leave you or forsake you. But one day on Calvary, he took on my sin, took on my indiscretion. The Father had to turn away from him because he was my sin bearer. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, he had to turn from his son. But I heard the Lord say, no man takes my life. I lay it down and I take it up. Then I heard the Father raised him from the dead. Then the Holy Ghost raised him from the dead. You all hear me? But the Father said, I won't leave you. I will not suffer your soul to see corruption. You may go down in the grave, but I made a promise. I promised that you'd get up on the third day. The grave can't hold you. And I'm so glad that that tomb is empty. That means all of the promises of God are yea and amen. Yes, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, I wish you just had some time. But the writer of Hebrews says, it became Him by whom all things, by whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. God's intent was to bring souls to glory. And it pleased God to rough up His Son so that we could get to glory. Hallelujah anyhow. In other words, the captain of our salvation. The same way Joshua led the Israelites to victory in Canaan, so the captain of our salvation did not bring you here to leave you at this level. But He wants to take you on up just a little bit higher. Moses did what he could. But it's Joshua's turn. It's Joshua's turn. For the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law could not save you. The law could not deliver you. The law couldn't make you perfect. But I see the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, He did. He came into this world, fulfilled the law, went to the grave, got up from the grave. He rose with all power in His hand. Can you say amen? The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was a disciplinary to make us call on the name of Jesus. If you call on that name, the work that He finished on Calvary is now applied to your situation. Are you there now? And just as Moses spoke to Joshua, now the Lord Jesus speaks to you. Stop being so scared. I'm with you. I'll go before you. I'll make a way out of no way. I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I'll bless you coming in. I'll bless you going out. Because I'm the door. If any man come in and go out, he shall be saved. He shall find pasture. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm a little confused. Paul said, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. So I lift my eyes up a little high, up past the hill from whence cometh my help. And I found out that He done some things for me that I couldn't do for myself. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't know it, but through His blood, I'm predestinated, chosen, accepted into the Beloved. Born into the family of God. Got an inheritance laid up before the foundation of the world. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. I didn't know it, but I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Thank you, Jesus. But He is the earnest. He's the down payment Every once in a while, He blesses my soul. He makes a down payment. Sometimes I feel discouraged, like all my work's in vain. But then, the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Say yeah. Ain't all right. Joshua. It's Joshua's turn. But I come to tell you, today is Jesus' turn. Turn it over to Jesus. He'll work it out. The hymn writer said, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do whenever you pray. Just let him have his way. Jesus will fix it. He knows what to fix, when to fix, how to fix, who to fix. Yeah. Ain't it all right? Turn it over to Jesus. I don't know about you. I had trouble on my way. I had to cry. Sometimes trouble on my way. I had to cry. Sometimes, but Jesus fixed it. Jesus fixed it. Jesus is going to fix it. Hey! He's going to fix it. He's going to fix it. After a while. Praise His name. The hymn writer said, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Now that you come out of Egypt, it's Joshua's turn. It's the Lord Jesus' turn to show you what He can do with the broken pieces. He's a rock in a weary land. He's our shelter in time of storm. He's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. God specializes things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Do you know Him this morning? Who have you turned your life over to? We recommend that you let Him in this morning. If you don't know Him, you need to see Him as Savior. If you do know Him, then we have to recognize Him as leader, as shepherd, as the one who's going to take us to what the Lord has promised. And not all of us are going to get the same blessing. Whatever blessing it is yours. And no one can take it from you. Amen. Or something good is going to happen today. Amen. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a feeling that somebody's going to be blessed today. Amen. 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 Got a wonderful feeling. Somebody going to be blessed today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, anyhow. And as we rest on our feet, if you stand. They got out, but they needed someone to take them in. The law could not do it. But what the law could not do, grace and truth did. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. For I'm persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Is there one this morning? Won't you come? You will have to leave your seat. Make your way to the front of the sanctuary. Won't you come? Apostle Paul had been through many things. He said, but I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Won't you come? Is there enough? If you're here this morning without a church home, just wandering around from church to church, we invite you to come. Study the Word of God with us. Is there one at this time? Won't you come?
If I were in control of my life, you know I think that I would have worked things out differently. There would be no disappointment, no hurt, no pain of these things. My life would be about
Knowing what the future holds for me.
hold my life. If Jesus is leading and guiding my life, it's my Jesus. It's Jesus taking me through the pain and strife. I'm going, not knowing what the future holds for me. I'm going, knowing to hold.